Forever Dog.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Vic. Vic, can you hear me? Hi. I'm calling in from Canada, okay?
Like
and
right there,
I wanted just to let you know that I'm proud of you for the work you're doing on the show, okay?
Well, I'd like to thank you personally from Glendale. Thank you, Tim.
And I'm going to speak to Doug real quick, okay?
Hello.
Doug, can you come here? I want to talk to you privately.
Yes.
Get closer to me. I am so grateful that you are back from your travels of on the ocean. Okay?
It's great to hear. I'm glad to be back too.
Can you give me a kiss? I love you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Office Hours. It's me, your host, Tim Heidecker, joining via Zoom. I want to thank Zoom for making this possible. And I'm in Canada, Toronto, Canada. You can see the Sky Tower. Pointless piece of... Thank you.
A little loud.
That symbolizes the Ozempic being shot up around the country. Good morning.
See that. And Doug is back in the studio. We have a new rule. New rule being Doug and I can't be in the same room at the same time. Doesn't work.
This works, though.
Right?
Yeah.
We had a lot of tension last year and a lot of... It got physical, I'll admit. It did get physical towards the end of last year. And we had a big meeting, all hands on deck. Wes was there and Luke and old interns, Alec. Who else?
We had a big gang. We had a big rumble.
Carson flew in.
That's why we had to redo the studio because we destroyed it with our big...
What was the guy before
with
Matt?
Our melee.
The first producer before Matt, he was there.
Aristotle
came back.
He called the meeting, yeah.
Some of the former guests came in. We had Alyssa Lamparis come in.
It was a nice to see.
Jay Weingarten came in.
We let
Jay Weingarten back in. And we said, how the hell are we going to keep doing this show? Because Doug and I can't be in the same room. Because it's just, the chemistry's off. Something about him, something about me, we just do not gel. Creatively, yes. We can gel, but... So the solution was, why don't I go up and live in Canada for the rest of my life? What? I don't know what that has to do with anything. What the hell does that have to do with
anything? I don't
know.
He played a drop that was like...
It worked to me.
Similar vibe, and I went with it.
100%.
No, this is, of course, me working as a SAG-AFTRA actor.
Well, that's great that you're getting acting work. That's great that you're getting acting work. I've been trying to get acting work, and I did bring in my new acting reel, which we can show later.
Oh,
I just wanted...
We'll show that later in the second half of the show. Doug's got a new acting reel. Moshe Kasher's already been laughing his little silly head off at the show. You can hear his voice.
I have a big
He's
boisterous
a
laugh. I mean, this is a good podcast. This is a good show. The dynamic here is like really, the tension's palpable. I fired Doug from a podcast as well.
Oh, well, we could talk about that.
Yeah, so that's that feels good.
Were you the main firer?
I was desperate.
You're the what?
Desperate to get Doug off the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You had to give the news to him personally?
No, we had an HR person do it.
Your game
that's
is
best.
Up.
Yeah, that's I'm planning moves like that. Matt, remind me to get an HR person so we could take care of some things on the when it comes to the main cast.
Yeah. Above the line, yes, I get it.
But Moshe, we're going to talk about Moshe. Just chill for a second.
All right, okay? I'm done. I'm sitting back.
I know. By the way, Moshe, I've already gotten issues with you because Moshe comes in at 9:59.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize there was a sound.
You don't realize it's live?
We all can grow and we all can learn.
I'm here. I was on time. That's early. That's 1 minute early.
No, I don't think so. I think the request is 9:45.
You're right.
Which is generous to be like, you know, get here 15. If you're doing Colbert, which you're not, I don't know why I'm so spicy with everybody this morning. What's going on? I feel like I'm safe.
You kissed Doug.
I can say whatever I want.
To fuck him.
Yeah. No one's coming at me. No one can physically get me.
I'll send Drake and some goons to find you.
No, it's fine. I'm just, people think I get all that bent out. So people were giving me shit last week because this drunk driver called in. Did you see that comment, Matt?
He wasn't driving drunk at the moment.
Someone was
mad
about that?
What did you say?
They thought I was just being, I was treating him like I was being an asshole with him. And Zach was very compassionate towards him. And so was I thought. But, you know, I was giving him some tough love, maybe. Anyway. Moshe's got a new book out. My goodness, I'm listening to it. Can I be honest
really?
With you? Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. That's part of it right there. That's from the audiobook. I did that. I do a lot of sound effects.
With your mouth.
Is there drops? Good.
There's a lot of drops in the audiobook.
You should let us do a drop pass to your next book.
I had Michael Winslow ready? Do the audiobook.
DJ Harrison is also going to be joining us. And was that a recommendation from you, Moshe, or is that coming from you, Matt?
It's from Stone's Throw. Our pals at Stone's Throw sent DJ our way, and we said, this sounds
But it
great.
Seems like it's in the Moshe sphere.
I think he's going to like it. I think he's going to like it.
Yeah. I do like Stone's Throw. Is it DJ Harrison or the man named DJ and his last name is Harrison?
It's his name. He's not a DJ.
He's not DJ Harrison.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm excited.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to play keyboard. Got it set up there. Nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was very confusing. I'm a little out of the loop, of course, because I'm up here. But he's setting up his piano. He's going to be playing music. But yeah. I just thought he was a DJ. I really did.
They have,
but I didn't give it much thought. If I gave it any thought, I would have been like, "Well, DJ, what is a DJ gonna?" I thought we booked like Tiesto on the show.
I would. That would be such a good booking. I would love that so much. Do you guys follow David Guetta on social media?
No.
He's amazing.
Social media.
Social media. Do you follow in Ibiza, David Guetta? He's trying to solve all of society's woes. One techno track at a time.
Holy cow.
And there's a great video of him on top of a roof going, this one goes out to the family of George Floyd and everyone's suffering. And then he just starts playing a Martin Luther King track. And then like a year...
I did see that, yeah.
It's a techno track with I Have a Dream over it. And then a year later, he's like, and now we will solve homophobia. This one goes out to all the gay community. And he plays the exact same Martin Luther King track.
Really? Yeah. Hey, did you listen to that new, what's her name, Kate Hudson song?
Heard about this.
Are you getting into the Kate Hudson scene?
She's on Stone's Throw Records as well, right?
She's Melanie Griffith's daughter?
Yeah.
How is it?
No, she's
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn's daughter.
I mean,
Kurt Russell.
Well, it's got to be great.
Just jumps in with the wrong answer,
so,
right?
But yeah. They were, yep. I know Miss Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus.
This is like,
it's
it?
Not
this
bad.
Is the full AI treatment here. What, you like it, Doug?
Well, you sent that to the thread saying any Kate Hudson heads in here. And I'm like, does Tim like this? And I'm listening to it like, this ain't bad.
I did her podcast.
Sometimes Tim has an open mind and he'll listen to something you wouldn't expect.
That's true.
My brother and I did her podcast. She does a podcast with her brother. She was very sweet. was a great conversation. I didn't know she was a recording artist, but I think
all right.
Great.
Well, we'll just put kid gloves on for the rest of the show.
No, I'm not asking you to censor yourself. I'm just saying she's a close personal friend. I'm a friend of the family.
A dear friend.
Goldie Hawn is my godmother. But say what you need to say.
Now check this out. I was thinking about this, talking about time. Perspective, and this is maybe mostly towards Doug here, but today it was the anniversary, it was a 20-year anniversary of Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction.
My God. Uh-huh. I remember that.
At the Super Bowl, and it's impactful to me because that I remember that so well because I was driving across country on my move to Los Angeles at that during that event. So that makes this, my 20-year anniversary in Hollywood.
It's Groundhog Day!
Is Janet still in prison for
20
that?
20 years, baby.
Is she still serving time for that?
20 years, I've been at the grind. 20 years since I said goodbye to the 9-to-5 and woke up every day to be a creative person, and that's been my life. Let's hear it from me. What about you, Doug?
I'll be celebrating.
You must be 20 plus.
Well, I came out just before you did, but I met you like within a year after I moved out here. So
right.
You and I will be celebrating our 20th.
Let's do it.
I think I'll be at 5 years in a year and a half or so.
Definitely not notable.
Boring.
A couple other things to mention. We've got, Vic's got a new guy.
Oh, yes. Sit down.
And we're going to talk about that. And I think, Moshe, you're going to love this guy.
I can't wait.
Vic will post to our text thread and say, there's a new guy. That I found a new guy.
I found a new guy.
It's a guy you found online?
Oh, yeah. It's a new guy.
A guy
low numbers and the views. I love stuff like that. Like,
just a man with no views, but you have found
but
him.
But I found him. Yeah. He's there.
Hey, maybe we could do a parody of like a girl group thing where it's like, Vic's got a new guy, wonder what he's like.
Hey now, Vic's got a guy.
Maybe somebody out there can make that for us.
By the end of the show.
Vic's got a new guy, wonder what he's like.
I'm pretty right? live.
Have you ever met guy. One of your guys, Vic?
Yeah. There's a few of them. Right here, Sir Anthony is a guy I collaborate with. I got his wristbands on.
Yeah, he
new
collaborates
video coming
with
out.
These guys.
Oh, yeah.
Next
you
week,
start working with the guys?
Yeah, new video dropping next
vortex.
Week.
Sir Anthony Jesselnick?
No, just Sir.
You discovered Anthony Jesselnick?
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
No, but the big one was I was making videos of this guy giving or selfie, you know, style rants. It was Robert Davi from The Goonies. Oh, cool. And he reached out to me eventually, and we met up, and he wanted to meet up, and that was that. We settled things.
I discovered Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Whoa.
On the Champs, yeah. Doug was there. I was the first guy ever to kind of see his potential.
Was he on the Champs?
He's an actor.
No, he is an actor now.
At the time, he was just a wrestler.
No, he worked at Jamba Juice.
No.
I found that guy. That's my guy.
Come on, man. We're not joking around on this
show. I thought
this
was like more of a silly pod.
What are the different kinds of podcasts? Are you doing the rounds?
I am doing the rounds. Yes, I am.
I heard Matt told me a nasty rumor, and I guess we can confirm it. You did the Joe Rogan Experience?
I did do that yesterday, yes.
You did it. You went down. Oh, look at you.
I don't read.
Yeah, he doesn't read. He didn't read your book.
Did you read my book? Oh, yeah, you're audio booking it. Doug, what about you?
What is trending?
He's not reading it.
Doug, will you read my book?
I'm reading your wife's book.
It is right. A good. My wife's
and
book
that's
is
a
good.
Great. That's hilarious, by the way. Do you guys just
well,
sit
let
to,
me ask you,
do
what,
you guys just
is it uncomfortable?
I have a question real
is
quick.
Is it uncomfortable to do Rogan? Like, do you go back with him or something?
Is it uncomfortable? No, I mean,
well, just because he's such a pig, like so he's such a like clearly like, such a bad guy.
You smoke cigars.
No, I'm just asking honestly because I know you probably disagree with him about
kind
so
of
many
a
things.
Fucking bona fide moron.
I guess I am not of the position that because I disagree with a person, I can't like have a conversation with them.
I agree with him.
Fair enough.
Burger smash cuts fucking hilarious.
But you didn't get into it with him, right? You're not like going on there to like debate.
No. I was there to talk about my book, I guess. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it was nice of him to have me on, and I'm, yeah.
Whoa.
And there we go.
Hi, this is DJ Doug Pound in your mix to let you know that you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's Delicious Meals. Factor is fresh and never frozen, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, or most importantly, Vegan. Of course, I signed up for Vegan, and it was great. My favorites were the 3-bean chili and the tangy citrus tofu bowl. It's fast, easy, and delicious. I also like getting extra pep in my step with their wellness shots. The apple, lemon, ginger, cayenne. Oh, baby, that's a good spice right there. When you don't have time to cook or you just don't feel like it, Factor eliminates all the hassles of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
There all we right. go. There we go.
All right.
You've been awkward this entire podcast. You know, I mean, there's.
I'm done giving you shit about it. All right. You've taken your
licks. I took my licks.
The act of learning.
Yeah.
What about his fans, though?
Where are you?
Shit talk his fans.
Where are you at in the book? That's what I'm curious about.
I'm still. I just finished the first story.
The AA one?
AA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's a miracle you're here. It's a miracle you're
It's a miracle I
alive.
Got here on time for the live podcast
I know.
To begin.
Calm down.
No, I didn't really know that much about your past. I unfortunately didn't read the... I feel like I'm going to go back and read your first book.
Oh, that's
because
nice.
There's so much... so much of your life seemed to take place before you, like, were able to drive.
Well, that is true. I went to like rehab 3 times by the time I turned 15. Somebody actually in the comments yesterday said, "What a BS story! Nobody goes to rehab at 13." Like he had figured out.
They know best.
Well, like they had figured out the smoking gun, and this whole thing was a lie. And it just took one comment on my Instagram that kind of unraveled the entire thing.
I'm drunk. I'm high.
I read your first book. I read your first book.
We're moved on from that.
I read your first book. Casher in the Rye, of course.
Right? Casher in the Rye.
Yeah.
I remember.
But
once,
how did you get your hands on that much booze at that age?
Well, I was a prolific shoplifter. Well, there's a number of different ways in which we got booze. There was a guy named Little Mikey Rip It Up in Oakland that we used to hang out with, and he was like one of our core friends. And we hung out with him every day, and he was 35, and we were all 13 and 14 years old, and he would
go. So this is a cool guy.
He was like a really cool guy. Like we thought. We were like, this guy, Mikey's cool. Like he loves us. And he would go and he would buy liquor for us. He lived above a church on College Avenue in Oakland, and we would hang out in his like little parsonage up on top of the church. And then one day the church found out that we were all there, and they called our parents, and they were like, you know, Mike has like the mind of a 12-year-old, and you're he's hanging out with these kids because he wants friends, but you know this is an inappropriate friendship, and it kind of like dissolved the whole thing. So then I had to, which made sense, you know, to us. Like we just thought he was one of us, and in a way, he actually was one of us.
Right.
But we hung out with a lot of people. There was a guy named Leotis who lived in Tilden Park in a tent, and he had an ascot, and he would buy us alcohol. And there was a guy named Nate who lived in, but he went by Frohawk, and he lived in the sewers underneath, like a Ninja Turtle.
Wow.
He lived in the sewers underneath College Avenue in Oakland. I slept, actually, in the sewers a few nights with Nate.
Sewers? What do you mean you sleep
social,
in the sewers?
What social class were you? Like what
Ninja
economic
Turtle.
Level were you?
I would
up.
Say low. I grew up on welfare. My mother and father are deaf, and so we were on welfare on SSI. We were on state disability, And so I would say we were pretty poor, but we had enough. I had enough to buy pizza for the nights in the sewers.
So did you see Gary Goldman's special?
Yeah.
It's good. It's kind of about that a little bit.
Jews right? on welfare. Very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah.
If you can catch us, we'll grant you a wish, but we're very tricky. So that was sort of the beginning of my life. And I was a prolific shoplifter too. But I was also like, my friends would always try to, my friends were awful. My friends were like the worst people at the time. We used to rob from each other. I remember we used to hang out with this kid named Terry. And he was a little bit like upper middle class. And we were all like the kind of, you know, broken toys of Oakland. And we hung out with this kid and we went to his house one night for a party and broke into his parents' house and stole their alcohol and like broke a bunch of shit. And he stopped hanging out with us and was like, I don't want to hang out with you guys anymore. And for years, we talk about Terry, like, what a fucking square Terry is. Like, what a loser. He cut ties with us just because we, like, you know, like, slashed his parents' tires or whatever it was that we did. Like, meanwhile, Terry went on to, like, become a veterinarian and get married and have, like, a great life. And me and all my friends just were, like, falling into deeper levels of degradation. And a lot of those kids went to prison and stuff. And I went to rehab. And I got sober when I was 15.
I remember in college, I think I was with this friend of mine. I won't say who it is. But we were in London and he bought some bad weed from some guy. Like, he bought basically oregano, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've been
there. And found and was so pissed and wanted to go back. And he's like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to find this guy and I'm going to fucking get my money back. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. He's just like, you know, college kid, not going to be able to do that. And he's like, you got to come with me and back me up. And I'm like, I'm not doing any of that. I don't give, like, that's for
you.
Who
was the guy? Who was the drug dealer?
Just some dude in the street. Uh-huh. He was just some, like, you know, that was there every day. And my friend was so pissed at me. Come on, man. I thought you had my back. I'm like, I don't want to get involved, right? I'm in a foreign country here. And I don't want to sort of settle a drug deal dispute. It's not like someone's like, you know, fucking with your honor here or someone's like, you know, I just said, let's leave me out. And but the idea of like, I was the opposite of in your story. I was the guy that said, I don't want to have anything to do with you guys.
That's the smart. You were smart. I did that, by the way. I've done those forensic when I was young, like fake buds, where you'd get. I remember we would get oregano and we would roll it into Elmer's glue and we would get purple thread. We were really artisans. We'd get purple thread and lace it onto the oregano bud and then get a really weed-looking stick and stick it into the bud. And we would, I remember I don't know that this story is true, but it is a true memory. It feels like it was probably an exaggeration because we made these buds and then sold it to this guy who bought it. And he was so desperate to have people think he was cool, he came back and wanted more.
Oh, no.
It feels impossible that he even smoked it, right?
It's a clove cigarette.
Moshe, did you do drugs also besides drinking?
Yeah.
Weed?
Yeah.
What'd you get into?
I loved acid. I took acid a lot when I was a very little kid.
So is it possible a lot of these stories are hallucinations?
What do you mean by very little kid?
Oh, I don't mean six. I mean, I think I dropped acid for the first time when I was 12.
Wow.
Which, by the way, is not, it's not the right time to do acid.
I did it when I was 16 or 17.
I never did anything cool. Do you ever do anything cool on acid? Like acid stuff?
Yeah.
Like watch The Wizard of Oz or go to the forest?
Yeah, I watched, definitely did all that. Went to the forest. Watched a little 2001 Space Odyssey.
I didn't do anything.
You know what was the best? I'll tell you what was the best.
Yes.
Trampoline, listening to like Axis Bold as Love, if you know that album.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Especially the song. That song, Axis Bold as Love. Peaking.
I think I listened to some cool... I listened to some cool songs, but we would like take acid and go to the BART station and just hang out in a parking lot and stare at
tires.
Right,
that's not good.
No, I want to do it now, but now I'm all sober. Yeah. Everything's unfair. I've been thinking about this a lot. Kids have baby teeth. Their first 5 years of their life, they have temporary teeth, and then they grow their permanent teeth in. We got to reverse that. We should be born we should be born with permanent teeth. Okay, babies would be much less cute because they'd have really big teeth and it would be really
strange.
Scary
I'm
for a long time.
Trying to picture that. It's a little strange.
So kids are born with permanent teeth.
Like adult-sized teeth.
Adult-sized teeth. Okay. It's harder to love your kid because they look like monsters. Right. But then when they get to be adults, they've got permanent teeth. And then when you get to about 55, your teeth fall out and you grow adult teeth for the final chapter of your life. So you've got really nice, shiny teeth.
I love that.
Well, I have a different perspective. I think we should be continuously growing teeth, and then we go and get them shaved down like our nails.
Like a beaver. Yeah, you got to keep eating, otherwise they'll...
But sharks just lose them left and right all the time. You know, like, it's fine.
It's my least favorite thing about sharks.
Yeah, but you don't want to be walking around with, like, missing teeth in your adulthood.
You don't have to brush them as much.
That's Ferengi style. You know the Ferengis. You know about the Ferengis, fellas?
Is that a Star Trek thing?
Yeah, they're the space Jews. They shave their teeth down for sexual attractiveness, to attract mates. God. They have sharp teeth, and they shave them on down.
Holy!
By the way, I was this fake pot stuff reminded me that this is the worst thing I've ever, one of the worst things I've ever done. Not for money, just for fucking with somebody. In college, we cut up some paper to look like tabs of acid.
Oh yes.
Gave it to some dude that we were fucking with and
smoked weed.
Said, this is the good shit, man. And we all pretended we were tripping on acid.
Did he pretend? Did the guy you gave it to say, I can feel it?
I think he kind of like played along and then sort of was like, I don't know, it's not working for me, you know.
Acid. Well, when's the last time you did acid? Anyone?
Smoke on the air. I don't care.
Is it not? Is it 1:30 here?
I want to do acid. I haven't.
You never have?
I haven't done it since before college. Since
I
probably really since
I never have either. Because I had,
never have.
But
I've been,
I never have because I had a roommate.
I've done
that
mushrooms.
Went,
I've done mushrooms since then.
Recently,
yeah, mushrooms are great.
Recently, yeah.
Oh, you've done mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms.
Mushrooms and acid. I feel, and I know that the hippie community is going to rise up against me for saying what I'm about to say, but mushrooms and acid, it's. Very, very similar experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you done mushrooms, Doug?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think...
but Moshe, if I could just reel this back in.
No. I want to talk about. Yes, Tim.
If you do when I'm doing mushrooms, and you know, this is veering into Rogan show territory, which I'm trying to avoid, but you do small doses of mushrooms, it is very different than the acid experience.
Because acid's so powerful.
Yes. Yeah. And I suppose if you did tiny doses of acid, that would also be similar to doing tiny doses of mushrooms.
Well, I'm starting a movement, a psychological movement for people to do a very little
amount.
Starting
a psychological movement. Go on.
Yeah, for people to do small amounts of acid in the morning, and I'm calling it tiny dosing.
The pounding.
Called tiny dosing.
Okay.
I'm trying to spread that.
That should be great.
Well, you know about everybody's microdosing.
Right.
That's a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
People
say, Silicon Valley CEOs say that they microdose in the morning and it makes them be able to close deals better.
Yeah. It provides energy and focus, they say, clarity. Yeah. Matt, we should take a Zoomer here, make sure we're on the air.
Can we just
say good morning?
Yeah, let's talk to Nick. Nick at the office.
Build that wall. Build that wall.
Everybody.
Build that wall. Build that wall.
Stop it. Who the hell is this? What is this? My accountant checking in?
It's close.
Let's do my taxes on
the
air.
I like how he's at a skyline too. It's like we're all
look at that.
At a,
Where are you? What city are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Ah, cool.
What do you do for a living? Are you at work?
Yeah, I'm a lawyer. I'm representing the white collar crowd.
You represent white collar criminals?
No, the crowd.
The white collar crowd.
There's a long war between the blue collar and the white collar.
Oh yes, Moshe, we have a lot of blue collar workers call in, like people working at we really do at factories and shipping yards and stuff like that. And warehouse, a lot of warehouses. And the white-collar community is getting a little offended because they're like, hey, we're here too. But obviously, they don't have the kind of idle time that some of these warehouse people have.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's got a reply to this summons coming in. But So what can I do for you up there in Chicago?
So I had this is sort of like an old matter of business, but I had a theory as to why Richard Dreyfuss was slipping out of that chair.
Go ahead.
From a long time ago. And it comes from another Richard D, who we all know, Richard Dunn. There's that episode of Tim and Eric where he has that disease where he needs everyone's bones. They're going to call in and give him their bones. And there's a really funny shot of him sliding down his chair because of his disease. Yeah. And I was wondering if Richard Dreyfuss perhaps was suffering from the same affliction.
I mean, you're welcome to wonder that. That's the beauty of the human mind.
You know, I could say this, Richard Dreyfuss, I have another theory, which is I know Richard Dreyfuss to be a joke thief. Like, that's just something that's known in the Hollywood community. Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss.
Like in interviews and stuff?
Just a famous joke thief. He used to do stand-up. And so I'm thinking maybe he stole the bit from Tim and Eric. Like, he was actually aping the bit. That's something to think about.
It is definitely a couple of different things to think about. And I might not. And I might not, though. Well, thank you for that. I want to turn things to a big breaking news. We have now, Vic has got some footage of one of the great actors, I think, of the 20th century, Mr. Michael Douglas, enjoying some seafood. So let's take a look at Michael Douglas enjoying some seafood.
Oh my God. Okay.
The biggest oyster I have ever seen.
Oh. Please no.
Oh.
Congratulations. Oh. Cheers.
All right, that's the news.
Nice.
That's breaking worldwide.
Didn't he have some issues with his throat a while ago?
It was from,
you know what I'm talking about? Good.
Yeah, from eating a bad oyster. I remember that.
No, if you know what I mean.
He ate Catherine Zeta-Jones' oyster so long. He had some throat.
It doesn't seem like a good idea for him to be eating that.
Man, that was visceral and physically difficult for me to watch.
You could taste it, huh?
Yeah.
Let's do the city of the day real quick.
The city of the day. City of the day.
All right. The city of the day is brought to you by the Groundhog's Steak of the Month Club. February 2nd is Groundhog's Day. It's the perfect reminder to join the Groundhog Steak of the Month Club. Housing developers around the country have been building beautiful subdivisions, running groundhogs out of their holes. Our agents have been collecting, clubbing, and artisanally carving up those filthy little whistle pigs for you to enjoy at home. The only shadow our hogs cast will be from the Edison bulb above your sink, your kitchen table. Every month, frozen hole-to-table shanks, steaks, mini ribs, and our popular no-stink bone-in hog knuckle soup will be shipped to your doorstep. We'll even throw in a skull or two at no additional charge. They're great for teething kids to gnaw on. Office Hours listeners get a free six-pack of hog water made from real groundhog fur rinsings and eyeball pressings. Just go to hogstoheaven.extinct and use the code word Tim. Okay. Now, let me hear this jingle before I drown from my mouth, which is extremely watering.
Groundhog Steak of the Month Club. Groundhog Steak of the Month. Groundhog Steak of the Month Club. Groundhog Steak of the Month. Groundhog Steak of the Month Club.
All right. Doug's so into it.
I made a rave one for Moshe.
This is very ravey.
Let's find out who our city of the day is, Matt.
Zachary, you there?
Yes.
This is Zach from last week calling in. Zach from, there he is. Zach with the Tim Heidecker Aquarium Drunkard cap on, which I wore all summer long.
The Tim Heidecker edition.
Yeah.
The Tim edition.
Where are you calling from?
I am in Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Tell us something about Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Well, right now, our claim to fame would be we are hosting one of the
very few prestigious stops on the joint Kid Rock and small town guy, I can't remember his name, tour.
Oh, John Mellencamp?
No. No, the Trinidad.
Jason Aldean. Small town.
Yeah, Jason Aldean. Yeah, the Jason Aldean.
Small town.
I heard.
The Jason Aldean Kid Rock embarrassment tour.
Is that one
stopped.
Redheaded guy there?
Oh, the.
You know what I'm talking
Wailing
about?
To the heavens about the culture war.
Rich men north of Richmond.
That guy, that's who I was thinking of.
You know, I heard recently that Kid Rock is one of the greatest concert experiences of all time. That he puts on an unbelievable show, and I must say, I do believe that the show is probably good.
Well, it's going to be actually hosted a few miles outside of our town.
Less Poplar Bluff.
Well, how are you going to get there?
Unpopular
Bluff. Well, it's a place called Bricks Off Road. It's for like driving your ATVs around in the mud. So that's where it's going to be. I imagine it'll be it'll live up to the Kid Rock the hype that you're given.
Are you going to go?
Can you get back to us, Moshe, on where you heard that from?
It feels like it's coming from
the Kid Rock publicity department.
No, I'm totally serious. And it was not. I was talking to someone about the greatest concerts he'd ever seen. And he said,
"Oh, it's Joe Rogan." That's what you're off the air.
It was not Joe Rogan. And he said, "I have to tell you, this is a little weird, but one of the best shows live shows I ever saw was Kid Rock." And I actually think you should go, Tim. I think that you should buy him a ticket to go see Kid Rock.
Can't someone say?
Well, they're probably $25. I don't mind doing that.
Yeah. Decide. Like,
well, Tim, I did see you in St. Louis, so
thank you. That was a good show.
That was good.
What's that place called again?
The pageant.
The pageant.
Yeah. I wonder if it's modern day rock or if it's like Woodstock 99 Kid Rock.
Well, wait, Tim, do you think it's a bad concert? Like, obviously the music is not
good.
Well,
the music is bad.
Obviously.
And then what else is there?
There's well, just I guess, like the
pyrotechnics.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I could.
Your parents told you that this was the great concert.
Yeah, my mom loved it. She's deaf. My dad loved it. He's been dead since 2001.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Okay.
No, good one, Doug. You can say parents.
Well, let's break it down. I mean, the music's no good. The message is terrible. Then you've got video projections, lights, and pyrotechnics, which, you know, you can get at a hockey game.
Wait, I would add one more element, though, which is...
people watching.
Two more. Well, the people watching has got to be fantastic. But musical ability would be something. I don't know. I'm not defending Kid Rock. I'm saying that's another part of it.
What am I looking at? The guy playing the...
And then performance.
The drums?
The performance. The performance itself. Like, I'm not a huge, I'm sure you love Kiss. Do you love Kiss, Tim?
No. Hate Kiss.
Do you think it's probably a good concert experience? I'm sure it is.
I would say for maybe like 10 minutes, it would be curious to me. But I don't know. I'm more on the line of like, the theatrics of live entertainment to me are like, but they're very uninteresting to me.
Oh, interesting. I like that.
Like
I saw Gwar. Okay. I'm not a big, like, they're like thrash metal, right? I'm not a big thrash metal, but I was like, these guys are great. What a wonderful concert this is.
Sure. That would be an example of someone. I saw them years ago. Like, yeah, that's an extreme theatrical. I guess what I mean, like, I'm not dissing theatrical productions and live experiences. I just think these, a lot, like Kid Rock or whether it's Kid Rock or Fleetwood Mac or whoever.
Wait, Fleetwood Mac?
You know, there's only so many tools in their toolbox.
You think Fleetwood Mac is
video projection? No. Well, first of all, if I'm going to see Fleetwood Mac, what am I seeing? Because you got Lindsey Buckingham out.
Oh, right.
You got Christine McVie dead.
She's not going to be on stage, right? They won't have her.
No, she's with my dad in heaven.
Those are the two out of the three primary singer-songwriters of that band. That's like like Ringo touring as the Beatles.
Right.
So get the fuck out of here.
I would love to see Kiss, even though I saw Alice Cooper once in concert, and I went to roll my eyes, and I left like, this guy is a master.
Rocket, man.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's Alice Cooper right there. Alice Cooper's one of the coolest performances I've ever seen. He came
when
down
was
a,
this?
Like, he came down a slide with a spider costume on with multiple arms. He's like 85 years old and he's in like full like Norwegian death metal makeup as he comes down the slide. I thought it was so cool.
I hear you. I just don't. I think my reaction to seeing Alice Cooper coming down a slide with a spider costume on would be sort of like, uh-huh.
You know,
like, I wouldn't be like, what?
I mean, I wasn't. I don't think I was freaking out. But I mean, I'm not saying like I wanted to go buy an Alice Cooper album, but I was glad that I was at the concert. I thought it was fun.
He stole his whole image from Arthur Brown. You know Arthur Brown?
Yeah, God is Hellfire.
Who's Arthur Brown?
All right.
I am the God of
Hellfire. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
Okay. All right.
We all steal. All right. All right. Great artists steal, right?
It's true.
What else do we want to get into?
You ever been to visit Vic's guy?
You ever been to a rave, Tim?
No. You know, maybe in high school once. I got the hell out of there.
Me and Tim and Eric went and we saw DJ Assault once at the
DJ Assault
at the
good
at the Echo. We danced our ass off. And Tim was even dancing his ass off.
You danced.
Tim doesn't even remember. But
DJ Assault is like very fast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ghetto tech.
Ghetto tech. There was a DJ called DJ Funk that does. You know DJ Funk? Very filthy rap samples over like really really fast house and techno, and he was really fun. I saw him once. You know, I was a rave promoter, a rave DJ. An ecstasy dealer, clean and sober ecstasy dealer, all through the early 90s in San Francisco in the warehouse.
That's the prime era.
That was my era.
Your book is about, might as well tie it in here, it's about your four things that you, the subcultures you got into, right?
Yeah, it's six. And I started with AA and rehab and the 12 steps. And when I was like 8 months sober, I realized like I'm 15, I've got the rest of my life to like find how to have a good time. And I randomly bought a ticket to a rave, and I went to this rave called Cyberfest 95 in Oakland, and I walked in like a wannabe gangster, like a little like teenage derelict, and I walked out like I had a
like
spiritual,
a candy, what do they call it, a candy.
I did have candy. Okay, not only did I have candy. Candy is
did you wear the pacifier? You have the pacifier?
Tim, I'm so glad you brought that up.
You wear the diaper?
That's
all the baby accoutrements.
I was clean and sober, and people have pacifiers at raves for a specific reason, which is that when you take MDMA, it makes you grind your teeth, and so you would suck on a pacifier to avoid grinding your teeth into little rave nubs. But I bought a pacifier because I thought it looked cool. Because I was sober, I didn't need to avoid that. I bought a Tweety Bird pacifier. I used to wear it around my neck with a Muppet Baby's shoelace.
Oh, man.
I had like, I used to put a gorilla hand puppet on and go to raves. I like burned all of my like wannabe gangsta gear, and I went to like Ross and bought like five pairs of JNCOs that I would switch out. And I would put the puppet on my hand and a glow stick in the other hand, and I would go dance all night completely sober.
The degree by which we would not have been friends during that period is incalculable.
But here's the thing.
Incalculable.
Well, here's the thing. Speaking of, it actually connects back to whether or not Kid Rock is a good concert experience. There was different things that I was getting out of raving that you didn't need. Because it sounds like you were like a normal person, and when you saw something negative and awful, you walked the other way and said, that's not for me. My whole life was like, my whole childhood life was so filled with negativity and violence and awfulness. When I went to rehab, I got out and I got sober. I like had missed all of the parts of like a regular developmental childhood. I'd missed all the innocent fun parts that when I went to raves, I got to retry that. I got to, inside that scene, I got to like somehow have a second chance at a childhood, even though there were drugs and sex and all that kind of stuff. It was also like innocent and softened me in a way that was necessary for my development and necessary for me to become your friend, Tim.
Did you do the sex part?
And I appreciate that, because I don't want you to, I mean, I know you received what I just said the way it was meant to be received. That it was like, it's nice now that we're we could get, we get along.
No, I mean, I think of it like a pendulum. Like I was on one side of this like life pendulum where I was so damaged and fucked up. And then Raves pulled me all the way over to the other side to a degree that was like actually absurd and stupid. And yes, if you had seen me back then, you'd been like, oh my God, this kid looks ridiculous. In order for me to like swing back to the middle in my adult life and be like a regular human being. Raves are as like key a psychological component to my development as the 12 steps were, as therapy was, as the podcasting community has been. Wow. That last part was a joke.
Let's take a call. I want to include the audience. Matt, it could be a hotheader, it could be a zoomer, whatever you want.
Knowing your own darkness.
There's a lot of drug talk. A lot of folks have drug talk. Ronald, you have some drug talk?
Ronald McDonald's on the phone.
Oh. Hello, everybody.
Mr. McDonald, big fan.
Oh, could you throw a mask on?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I threw my last one out. I'm trapped at home. Anyway, guys, hi everyone. I like to say,
are you also behind
Are you like in prison right now?
A window?
Yeah, there's a window here.
Oh my God.
No, but did you hear, dude? The new variant can be spread through Zoom. I swear to God, I didn't make that up.
No.
The CDC just said the new variant is Zoom.
I'm using a VPN, so it's okay.
Okay, good.
Very, very nice selection of hats, guys. I like the variety of hats. And,
there's so many hats. You don't see me with a hat on, by the way. I'm indoors. I don't wear hats. Anyways.
So my question, I work in addictions and mental health as a nurse and inpatient. So I see a lot of stuff to do with drugs. People taking too many drugs, ending up in hospital. Some people can't take drugs, you know, just like some people can't drink because they get depressed, blah, blah, blah. Not to make it serious, but or gets you down. But has anyone had any experience with someone who's taken any substances and you've been worried that they need to go to hospital or that they've ended up in hospital? And this can be, you know, funny stories. It doesn't have to be like sad. Corn. You know, oh, my friend OD'd or something like that.
I'm sure Moshe has plenty.
I have a lot. Beyond just my years in rehab and AA stuff, when I was in the rave world, and actually at Burning Man. That's the third subculture in the book. I worked at Burning Man for 15 years, and I went for the first time in 1996. I have, I think, like a spiritual, like a metaphysical ability to be the designated driver everywhere I am. Like somehow I run into the person that's overdosing at every, I'm always the guy that somehow finds the overdosing person. And I think it's because, I mean, I don't really believe in magic in this way, but I do think there's some part of the universe that allows me to be the person that discovers that person because I'm sober in these spaces where people are doing so many drugs. So I'm not going to panic and freak out, and I will know how to get that person help. So yes, I have a lot of times called for help or figured out a person that was in drug trouble. This is pre-fentanyl where the overdose situation is much more serious.
Yeah,
now.
I wanted to bring that up because I got a message. And by the way, I was there for when Vic overdosed on cherries. That was part of that.
Yeah, it was really
pretty scary. But I wanted to pass this along because woman that helps me with my music wrote sort of a message to a bunch of people she represents and was like, please be aware that there's some really bad cocaine out there and drugs in general, of course, but there's people like that we know. I don't want to name any names, but like people that were at shows of people we know, I would say that you would be like at that show, people like ODing on coke that had fentanyl in it.
Hey guys,
so,
Jeremy Renner.
I mean, it's very legalize scary. I don't do any of that stuff, so I don't worry about getting tainted stuff with fentanyl, but I know that it's part of, you know, a young person's many people potentially listening to the show right now who dabble or kind of are going to try it for fun or their friends are doing it. It should be known that it's very dangerous.
Can I have a sniff?
And Moshe, is there any like altering drugs or substances you take now? Or is LSD out or are you just completely sober?
I'm completely sober.
Completely? Okay.
And to what Tim's saying, you should test your drugs, right? Would you agree with that, COVID friend? You test your drugs.
Yeah, it's just always, that's harm reduction. Take like half or less of what you think you should take.
And test it for fentanyl. But Vic, to your question,
or, yeah, I get tested. Yeah.
To your question, I really started because I left AA, and that's a big part of the book. You know, each segment of the book is like a history of the subculture and then my time in it, and a part of what I wrote about in the book is like my slow journey out of being like sort of active in that world and in that community, and I started to think about psychedelics as like is what we were talking about, Tim. Like I never tried it as an adult. I never tried it with any intentionality, with any like kind of meaningfulness to it. And I really actually think psychedelics have like a lot of power. And if I could do them with a clinician or a spiritual guide or something, there's something really positive and beautiful about it. And I was really thinking about it. I was like really kind of almost thinking, maybe I will do this. And Natasha got pregnant. And then I thought, I don't have any desire.
Who's the dad?
It's Vic. That's why I'm telling him this story.
Cool. Wait, what? Okay.
But I just was like, I don't have any desire to like mix these stories together of my decision to not be clean and sober and my.
Well, she's not pregnant now.
That's true, but but now she's here and I'm a dad. And
but your daughter's better than acid.
100% my daughter's better than acid. I've done acid and I've never had a person grow up in my house that it's my job to teach them how to be an adult and all that stuff. Yeah. So I don't have any desire to do it now, but there was a time when I was thinking about it.
Okay.
Listen, we're having so much fun and time is flying. Do you realize how time is flying? And do you even acknowledge time?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are you talking to?
Is this about me being almost late?
No. I just want to make sure we stay on time because we have a musical guest coming in. I want to get to Vic's new guy. People are all excited about that.
As if on cue. Hello.
Well, what do you think, Matt? Why don't you check in? You seem to be completely checked out.
DJ Harrison just walked into the room, which
thank you
can't
guest.
See.
Thank you, caller, by the way. Thank you for the work you do, too.
Oh, yes, Ronald. We can check in with... Sorry, Ronald had a funny golden thumb. Yeah, let's check in with DJ, or do you want to watch... I feel like we need to give a wider berth for Vic's new guy, huh?
I agree.
I want to get into that.
You're going to do a new guy first?
Should we take a quick hotliner and then get to DJ? Let's do that. Larry, is that your name? 614, you're on the hotline.
Next caller.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, is this Tim?
Yes, it is Tim Heidecker. How are you?
Hello.
I'm very good. Hi everybody. My name is Jacob. I'm a college student, and I was calling on cinema question, actually.
Okay, make it quick.
So you make a lot of jokes on cinema related to diabetes. I was wondering, are you type one? I know the jokes in the show you make are you
I'm
got
not.
Diabetes.
I don't
you're not,
think
you're
I
not
am.
Type one.
I no. You don't. No. Are you?
Okay. I am. Yeah. That's why it was relatable. It was relatable.
Huh? Oh, good. Well, I hope it brings you joy.
Did you say good?
That brings some joy.
I hope my teasing about diabetes brings you joy. Diabetes, just, I don't know about you, Moshe.
Well,
you can chime
in
here.
The teasing, just not of me.
Well, I think I there's something for me, at least. There's words that are funny, right? I think there are words that are funny.
Corn.
And one of those words is diabetes.
Because you're
you know
thinking
what another
of,
word is?
You're thinking
diarrhea.
Diarrhea is a funny word, but you're thinking of the oatmeal guy saying diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yes.
Diabetes. That's funny.
Diabetes.
Diabetes itself not
Bingus
funny.
Another.
Wilford Brimley
well,
saying
diabetes is you know it's a thing, but it's treatable.
It's
not the end of the world, is it? And by the way, I haven't made diabetes jokes on cinema in like 7 years. Like I think that was like a season three.
It was early,
condition.
What disease are you making fun of this season?
Oh, a new one.
What do you got?
You would know if you watched the show, but I know people in Hollywood don't watch other people's work.
Diabetes.
I listened to your album. Diabetes, you know, I'm a huge fan, Tim.
I know.
Diabetes.
I can bring our musical guest into my the world of my book. The last rave. You're on Stone's Throw Records? Mm-hmm. The last rave I ever threw was called Pangea. and we booked Peanut Butter Wolf.
Diabetes.
The owner? The founder of Stone's Throw Records.
Thank you, Wilford.
This is a real connection piece we've got.
All right, let me go through this. What's going to happen right now? Permanent
Records Roadhouse, I believe he runs at.
Was that his place?
I think so.
Oh, cool.
That could be fake news.
I need to, Matt, book me a flight to get back in the studio right now. I need to rein this in.
There's a band called the Diabetes, and it's Wilford Brimley. I really want to play this for a second.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Never mind. Okay.
Let's preview it and let Tim introduce DJ.
Listen, we're going to do this. We're going to have music from not a DJ, a musician named DJ Harrison.
And
we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got Vic's new guy. We've got some thoughts I have on another on a big movie that's out right now called Zone of Interest, and Doug's acting reel, and Doug has a new game. So if you're watching this in the future, join us at patreon.com/officehourslive.
It's all about
you're
the second
live,
half.
Stick around.
It's all about the second half. It's all about the second half today. I
wait a second.
Can't get a damn sentence out. But
go back
I appreciate
to Canada.
The enthusiasm. I appreciate the enthusiasm.
Oh, come on.
So take it away, DJ Harrison, and we'll be back in a few.
Cool.
To another plane.
And we need a woman to clean it up. And that woman is
Michael,
Hillary.
We will always believe in you. But to us, you are Peter Pan.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Keith. Do you want more from the Holy Trinity? Well, you're in luck because there's another full hour of this show at patreon.com/officehourslive. You'll also get access to Tim's Saturday morning blogs, game nights, the Joel Hole, and so much more with Office Hours Plus. The best part is, it's only $5 per month or $55 for a full year, because talk is cheap. I dare you to find a bigger bang for your buck somewhere else. Anyway, get all of the satisfaction you'll ever need today at patreon.com/officehourslive. And guess what? You'll get a free 7-day trial. How about that? Now put those sticky fingers to work and click on over there.